All systems are a go.
Ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your seats. Taking Care of Iredell with North Carolina State Representative Jeff McNeely is about to begin. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good morning, Iredell County. Hope everybody's doing well out there this morning. A little dreary. Been getting plenty of precipitation. That's good, though. You know, that's what makes the crops grow and the grass grow. And so it works out for us in agriculture. I know it might be aggravating for some and others, but like I said, it's good for ag, and that's really good for me. So there we go. Hey, got a great show today, I think, going to come on here. We got the infamous Representative Jason Sane. I know you hear him on Wednesdays and later in the week, just like you do me on Mondays. But this time I get to interview him instead of the other way around. So we really get in depth, and we're going to talk budget, short session. We're into it now, folks. It's wide open, working on a little bit of money that we have left over in the short session. So, and everybody wants something. Believe that. I was shocked to see that people had wants and needs. So anyway, but if you'd like to call in and talk about it, 844-788-3464. That's 844-788-3464. So we'll jump right in, go ahead and get on with the show. Last Monday, a really, really tough day in North Carolina for many, many reasons, but especially for the loss of life of some of our law enforcement. And very tragic scene down in Charlotte, four officers killed, four wounded. It actually hits pretty close to home. The four officers, Joshua Ayers, Samuel Pelucci, I hope I'm saying these names right, William Elliott and Thomas Weeks, all end of watch, as they say, was on Monday. Tragedy that went to serve a warrant, from what I understand. Don't know all the particulars in this. Evidently fell in with a firearm and was opened fire on by multiple different people. They're still trying to determine the people in the house. The one that they went to serve the warrant on was killed outside of it. And so just a tough time. It really does hit really close to home. This was a special task force, and Statesville Police Officer Casey Hoover was also critically wounded. And from what I understand, I talked with the chief a little bit, Chief Only. I think Casey was actually witness two of them getting killed right in front of him before he was shot and critically wounded. But I think he's going to make a recovery, full recovery. But we need to put them in your prayers, the families of the lost and the families of the wounded. And just, you know, it's tough. The sad part is, it appears, folks, that a lot of the criminals out there, they just don't fear. They just don't fear law enforcement like they should. And we're just not tough enough, in my opinion. And, of course, you know, this starts at the very, very top in the federal and on the state side, too. This is the leadership of Joe Biden and Roy Cooper and now Josh Stein, who's our AG, wanting to be our governor. And we'll continue to have no fear for law enforcement if we allow these people to continue to decide what our justice systems should be in the United States and in North Carolina. You know, I talked with Captain Only, and I said, you know, right now there shouldn't be any suspects, because that's the only justice we're going to get once this scene's done. So I'm just telling you that they need to take care of business where they're at if this happens. And that may sound cruel, but that's the only way we're probably going to get justice for these officers, because the court system, unfortunately, is too far manipulated to get true justice. And we have people on death row sitting there for 20 and 25 years while we're fattening them up. And I've been to death row at Central Prison, and I've seen this, and they're in there reading the Wall Street Journal, and know that they're completely safe from being executed like they were supposed to be. And I think there's some way or another that we've got to understand and show that death row means death row, not 20 years of this, that, and the other. And there's all kind of different groups out there that spend thousands of man hours. I know Duke University has one. Not sure if there's one at Carolina's Law School, but it's trying to get people off of death row, proving all these different things. The trial wasn't done right. There's that and the other. But we know who did what. And I think the sentence needs to be served. And that's what we choose is a death penalty. That's what they deserve. And 2 years is a plenty of time to do any appeals. I think once this happens, you will see some things change. Maybe I'm wrong, but I truly believe if you make the punishment harsh enough, you will deter the crime. And I think that's where we're at with this. I do know also Lowe's is running a program. They had limited supply, but it's quite a bit in this area. And you could go there and get a free LED blue light bulb to put out on your front porch, wherever it's visible on your house, to show your support of our law enforcement. And I think this is it may be a small gesture, but I think it says a lot about our area and the companies based in our area. And I'm very supportive of Lowe's in doing this. And I hope people will go, and there's not a single blue light bulb to be found in all of North Carolina when this is over. Put them out there. Show your support for our law enforcement. They're putting their lives on the line every day. Talk to a lot of the people in the FOP right after this happened. It's just such a sad day to see these men, their life cut short and their duty cut short. They're willing to do everything they can to protect their community, and they did. They gave their lives, and it just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart, and I'm not sure what we can do, but there's got to be a way we can protect them better, or we can make sure the punishment's harsh enough to maybe never let it happen again. And that's on me and the other legislators in Raleigh to figure this out, and I pray we will. So we got to go about that. Working in here, you know, this should have never been. This is a felon with a firearm, but this happens all the time. And somehow or another, we've got to make that law a whole lot stricter, too. So we got to work on it. Going to jump real quick, but we got a break coming up here in about a minute and a half or so. We'll talk more about this. But also, on that same day in Chapel Hill, we've seen this on Facebook a whole lot right here lately. The young men with the fraternity Pi Kappa Phi held up the American flag from the ground, from letting it touch the ground as it was being taken down by pro-Palestinian protesters at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Crazy scene that went on. They eventually did get to the flagpole and raised the Palestinian flag on one of our campuses here in North Carolina and the United States of America. Thank goodness the police finally showed up, and the interim chancellor, which I got to know, Lee Roberts, came and raised the flag back up. The American flag, took the Palestinian flag down, which had no business being raised up on any flagpole in any one of our universities with the American flag removed. If you want to carry it, that's one thing, but you do not take the American flag down and put another country of any kind up, in my opinion. So I feel like Lee Roberts that day, changed from being the interim to, he will probably be the official chancellor of the University of North Carolina with his move. And he addressed the crowd, and they threw water at him and water bottles. And folks, this is not protesting. This is just plain and simple rioting. This is an unacceptable behavior. And if we allow it to continue, it will only get worse. So hang tight. We're going to come back right after the break, talk a little bit more about this and other things. Give me a call if you want to talk. Hang tight.
Stay with us. We'll have more Taking Care of Iredell with NC Representative Jeff McNeely after these messages on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Now more Taking Care of Iredell with North Carolina Representative Jeff McNeely on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Okay, back here for the middle part of the show here before we head to our guest, the infamous Jason, Representative Jason Sain, coming on after the half hour. So talking a little bit here, like I said, we're talking about what happened at Chapel Hill, but this is happening all over our country right now at all these universities we're seeing. I think UCLA, University of Southern California, Oregon State. Of course, these are ones I'm naming fairly liberal, but hey, it happens everywhere. We're having protests all over this country. It said, and some are doing it very peaceably and I guess going about protesting, what you would say, in the right way. But then we had interferences already with commencement ceremonies, like up at Michigan, Columbia, which has just been a mess and a half, has chose not even to have their normal commencement. They'll have smaller little individual school commencements. I hope those won't get ruined. Like I said, we have rights. You have First Amendment rights. You know, we have freedom of speech. But your rights don't overshadow another person's rights either. So when you go in and you take away somebody's experience that they've waited 4 years or more for to graduate from college, and because you decide you want to protest at a ceremony for the graduation and you ruin their graduation, what gives you that right to do that? There's a place, there's a time, there's a way that you go about protesting. And I know they want the largest impact and make the biggest splash and be seen. You know, that's the big thing. Be on social media, be on the news, be on whatever. But I do think we need to understand that there's certain places and certain times that protests shall not be allowed. Even though that may be a fight in the First Amendment, I think we got to realize where we have our protests at and how we go about them, and allowing those people to have their rights, but not infringe on other people's. And this thing's getting really anti-Semitic, too. I mean, there's coming after the Jewish people. Not only they protest and wanting to cease fire, but they're also slamming our Jewish students that are at these universities and choking out their free speech. And so, to me, this is getting very, I would say it's getting very complicated, but it's actually pretty simplistic to a point. You put a place where they can protest. You put it wherever on campus, make it visible, not visible, but you put it there. And if they want to pitch their tents there and they want to show their protest, that's fine. They're not going to take over one of the university buildings. They're not going to take over a university commencement. They're not going to do these things, or they're going to be arrested. And I think it's real simple. I'm all for free speech. I'm all for allowing, but I'm also for responsibility with these rights that we have. And when you start abusing the responsibilities, the rights seem to fade. And people may say, well, that's unconstitutional. Well, it may be. But in America, we're allowed to say what we want, but we're also responsible for what we say. Remember that. So just hats off to Pi Kappa Phi and that fraternity. A GoFundMe page was created. I thought it was by the young men. Come to find out, I don't really think the GoFundMe page is really affiliated with them. So, folks, beware. And every good cause that happens and every good thing seems like there's somebody maybe trying to scam. So we're going to find out exactly how that works and if the university and that money ever come together. Hopefully it'll go to a good cause, a charity in some way or another or something. We'll see. Beware, though. I probably would stay away from the GoFundMe page for that right now till that all gets figured out. One thing I did, and like I said, if somebody like to give us a call, talk about any of this stuff, 844-788-3464. Give us a shout. Working towards the middle of the show. Our North Carolina Senate finally voted on HB 823. And I know a lot of y'all saying, well, what is HB 823? Well, that is the base bill from the House for the Opportunity Scholarship. And whenever the budget was going on, the language, this is where it gets real interesting, folks. Believe it or not, our budget, in my opinion, carries more language than it does numbers by far. So when we worked the budget up last year and in the first part of our session that we have in the year 23, we went ahead and funded money into the budget for the opportunity scholarships. Not as much as HB 823 did, but it was some, and it was more than had been there. So now we've had this huge, huge response to the opportunity scholarships and the more funding. And so now the Senate finally has picked up the other side. It stalled over there after we sent it over, picked up the other side and voted on it. made a big to-do about it, really, in my opinion, and I appreciate them, but I think they should just be doing their job. So that's where it is. Got it passed through their side, so that allowed more money. So we now have basically funded all the wait list of the people wanting that didn't get it. They were probably tier two, tier three. Tier one were the most needy. So now we pretty much funded all the way back through. So this is a good thing. They've been waiting the last couple of months. I've been having a lot of people call me, and a lot of people want to know what we're doing, if we're going to do this. And I told them I thought we were. And we'll talk a little bit more about this when we get Jason on here, because that's in the budget talks too. And that's kind of where this was driven from, to allow this bill to move forward. We got a caller? Hey, all right, we'll take it and see who we got here. Hey, this is Representative Jeff McNeely. Who we got?
Yeah, hey, Jeff, this is Keith. How you doing?
Hey, Keith, what you up to, brother?
Man, I'm working like a busy beaver.
I hear you.
Hey, Jeff, I believe a lot of this stuff started back when they was giving them trophies for showing up. and people wasn't putting their foot down in and pampering to them like they deserve their way. Now people's getting the full wrath of it.
Well, I it's funny, on social media, a lot of the protesters are being made fun of because, I think the term they like to use these days is Karen, maybe, or whatever. It's a lot of them are young ladies that feel the need to express themselves. They have no real ties to the Middle East. They have no real ties to even Jewish. They just want to get out and express themselves and then go get a latte at the coffee shop after they get done protesting.
Well, I guarantee you some of these race teams would volunteer, fly them over and let them fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That'd be an interesting thing. Maybe they ought to put them on the ground and just see what's going on. Yeah.
Send them over there and let them dodge some bullets and see what they want to scream about then.
You know, when Israel was attacked by Hamas on October the 7th, I didn't see these people raising their arms and you know, voices saying this is horrible. They sat still and didn't say a word. I think a lot of them felt like, oh, because of the propaganda being fed to them, that Israel deserved this. Well, nobody deserves to have their babies' heads cut off in the streets.
Well, it's different when you're dodging bullets. I guarantee you that.
That's right. So
yeah, keep up the good work, Jeff. We appreciate you.
All right, thank you, sir. Yeah. Hey, one thing on that too. This is reminding the listeners, viewers, whatever. Most of the tents were all matching at all these demonstrations across the country. And guess what? When they showed up, there was already pre-printed signs for them to take and hold up. Well, that was as handy as all get out to be able to find signs already pre-printed saying pro-Palestinian things. Gosh, what's the odds of that happening? Just to find them there and not have to bring one or make your own. So anyway, but getting back to the opportunity scholarships, like I said, this has been a blessing to many people, our public schools, and we're blessed here in Idle County. We have a great set of school systems in the Idle Central School System, Mooresville Graded. Some other places, not so much. So this gives some freedom and choice for parents. If they want to stay in the public school system, that's wonderful. I think it supplies them with all these things. I know back in a heated primary, I had a lot of people slam me, try to say the only thing I thought good about public schools was the busing and the free lunches. Well, that's a lie. I never said that quote, never at all. But that was something that they tried to throw out and paint on me. But I support the public schools, and we've gave them money, and we've raised their money every time. Now, would they like to get the money for the opportunity scholarships and spend it on the public side? Well, who wouldn't? Yes, they would. But, you know, I do think competition makes all things better, either way you look at it, including politics. But I think this will help our school systems across the state, the public ones. I think it will help our private ones. And I know Catherine Truitt, before her watch is over, is out trying to find a standardized some kind of test that will be administered not only to the public schools, but the charter schools and also to the private schools. And so that way everybody's on a level playing field. We've heard this a lot, especially from Dr. James. And so I hope we get that in place, because I think that is fair. I think that makes to see who's getting what done, if we're doing really well in the public or private sector, whether we're not. So it's going to be interesting. So good to see that they've got it fully funded. good. Good to see things are going like we want them to, and the Opportunity Scholarship has taken off. Real quick, a couple things, because we're getting down about a minute and a half. I wish an hour and a half. We had the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby, and it did not disappoint. And I'll be honest with you, folks, I think horses are beautiful animals. I've always been enthralled with them and always loved horses. And it may be part of it is because they've helped me make my living. I fed a lot of horses with the feed that we sell, but I think they're fantastic, magnificent athletes. And then the crazy people that climb on them and go as fast as they do, holding on to hardly nothing but two little pieces of leather and two little stirrups. I don't know how they do that. But Mystic Dan won with a photo finish. I'm telling you, folks, it flared its nostrils, and that made $3 million. That was, I don't know how you train a horse to make its nostrils flare, but that's how close it was, and it did. 152,000 people were in attendance on Saturday. Now, the Kentucky Derby actually goes a week long, so there's been people there every day. A lot of other big races happened. The one that we just happen to know about is the Kentucky Derby because it's the first leg of the Triple Crown. And as the old saying goes, you can't win a Triple Crown if you don't win the Kentucky Derby. So Mystic Dan, we will see. Fastest horse in the field, the favorite. That's what you got to like about racing and horse racing. Sometimes just like NASCAR, it doesn't necessarily mean you're a winner. So Fierceness was a fast, fast horse. It was unbelievable, the metrics of how much faster in the last race run than the rest, and yet come in, I think, somewhere around eighth. So you never know. You never know. Congratulations to Mystic Dan. Hang on tight. Got Jason Sane coming on. It's going to be good. Stay with me.
We'll be back with more of NC Representative Jeff McNeely and Taking Care of Iredell after this short break on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. It's Taking Care of Iredell with NC Representative Jeff McNeely on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
All right, back here for the second half of the show. We got my good friend, Representative Jason Sane, on the line. Let's see if we can bring Jason in. Jason, are you with me, sir?
You got me, man. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I know people get tired and say, why don't you pick Jason? He's got his own show. We hear enough of him. But, hey, this is different. This is where I get to quiz him. The other way, he knows exactly what he's going to tell y'all. So he's on the edge here today. So, but we won't get him too riled up. So, anyway, having a safe drive up to Durham this morning. Everything good?
You know, heading in, so far so good. About to get off the interstate. That's always a blessing.
All right.
But, yeah, that's not bad.
Just know that they're looking for Republicans entering and leaving Durham County, so beware. They're going to be throwing tacks out on the road or something, so just know. You're not going to get out of there scot-free.
I think they call me, how do you say it in French, anomaly? I think that's what.
he has money. Let him through. That's what they're saying. All right. Well, we know about Jason Sane. We've heard you on the radio, you know, now numerous times on Wednesdays, and I think you're back on like me on Saturdays. And so tell the listeners something about Jason Sane that we don't know. Are you willing to even spill that?
Oh, gosh, there's so much. Let's see. Well, other than, you know, the fact that I enjoy, you know, long walks in the park and romantic comedies. I would say
pina coladas.
Pina coladas, getting caught in the rain, and a lot of other things. Pina coladas, a good bourbon, whatever. But I will tell you, I guess probably as much as we just did this a couple weeks ago, we had the North Carolina Symphony in Lincolnton, and I used to play trumpet, played high school band. North Carolina Symphony is what got me interested in it. And now my kid, who's 15, plays trumpet in the high school band. So that's a little something you might not have known about me.
Well, we did not know that you played the trumpet. All right. So, well, I think you did tell me something. Now, did you end up, Tark Burkett was talking about having you play with him at a concert or something. Did you ever get into that? Did that happen?
That didn't happen. It was a rainy weekend, and, you know, there's a lot I will do, but there's a lot I won't do, and that's because stand out in the rain with a bunch of perfect strangers. So, as tempting as that sounded, I didn't do that. When Axl Rose had his voice problems, I mean, Slash did call. I didn't do it, but they did call.
Couldn't work a man. All right. Well, I'll tell you what.
Too much exposure, really.
Yeah, that's right. We're out there right now, and the budget process is going on, and y'all have been kindly letting me come and just kind of sit back in the gallery and pay attention a little bit and watch what's happening, watching sausage be made. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's been very interesting. I ain't going to tell you I didn't have to drink a cup of coffee or two just to keep it going, but been very interesting. And there's a lot of things that are looming. And first we didn't have any money, and then somebody spilled the beans and said, "Oh, we've got about $1.5 billion." So then everybody thinks we got money, but the truth of the matter is, after being just in a couple budget meetings that I've been there, that money's going really quick and is kind of already earmarked and almost out the door. Would you agree to that? What would you say?
Well, I'd agree with that totally. And, part of the reason for it being hard to predict is a lot of it has to do with economic activity. So sales tax. So people say, well, if you got this big surplus, why don't you send it back to the taxpayer? Well, the problem is, I don't know where you put in your, 6 cents, 7 cents, whatever it is, or I don't know where on your sales tax. But we end up with, when there's more economic activity, we end up with a little boom, which is nice. But it also means that some of it's one-time money because it varies from year to year. And then also the fact that, we always have more needs than we have money. And that's where the hard decisions come in. And, if it's easy, everybody'd be doing it, but we have to pick and choose. You alluded earlier in the show that the opportunity scholarships, it turns out people really do want school choice.
Yeah.
And they're taking advantage of it while they can. But it also means that it comes at a cost, or more revenue is needed to pay for such things. So, well, the Senate's, they worked on that last week. They'll put it out there. The bill will come back to the House. It's a House bill that they, if I understood correctly,
yep.
That they sent back to us. But then that's kind of a marker saying, hey, this is the Senate saying this is a priority for us. I don't know that we disagree in the House. So that'll be something that we work on together as we kind of sharpen our pencils and get down to that. But there's other costs too. I mean, there's always other needs, and we know that. Just from the ins and outs of state government, there's a lot of things that haven't been taken care of over decades and decades and decades of just providing services to constituents across the state. But there's also new things pop up. Agencies get hit, like your family, get hit with unexpected costs sometimes, cost overruns on other projects. And guess what? We're the government. We don't do things very well and efficiently to start with. So there are always needs. What we try to do is try to spend it as best we can with the idea that it's not our money, it's taxpayer money, and want to at least squeeze out as much value out of those dollars that we can.
Well, and that's it. And then we play inside of what the federal government tends to want to send with all the strings they have attached to it. And that sort of segues me into one thing that's kind of looming on us. And it's almost one of those things we knew when we took the money, it was going to be issues. And that's on the American Rescue Plan Act. And it was about probably almost $1 billion more to spend on child care so people could get back to work. And now that program is playing out, and our deadline's June 30th, unless the federal government decides to extend it. And I don't know whether they will or not. I think they'll put the pressure on us. And so that's a big thing. I got a lot of people calling me, because June 30th isn't that far away, and they're getting nervous. And what are we going to do? And I know that was out there on the table the other day.
Well, that's right. And look, there's your audience, I'm sure, will be shocked to learn that there's no such thing as a free lunch, because there's also no such thing as free money. And so everything comes at a cost. And it depends on what policies the federal government wants to drive and, quite frankly, what they want to push down to the states. Because if we've looked at what Congress has done over the last decade, not much, except pass the, they take the savings and pass the cost on to you.
Heck
of a deal if you can get it, right?
I like that line. That's how I remember that.
Right. They want to charge you more. They want to take away any tax cuts you received and make it harder for you to earn money. And then, oh, by the way, they want to stiff you with the bill for their free program. So go back to what I said, there's no such thing as a free program. But look, child care is a reality for a lot of folks. If you've now adjusted your spending habits to the dollars that have come in and taken care of you on the other side, and you're not making as much money, whether it's the same amount or the fact that, you know, by inflation has taken hold of your paycheck, it's really tough for families. And that's something that we're looking at as to how to address. But, you know, in order to do something like that, and if it costs more money than you're taking in, that means either something's going to get cut, and I don't see us raising taxes. So then we have to make those tough decisions. So there's a lot on the table. None of that's decided yet, but it will be. Child care being something that is very obvious to many, and you're hearing from constituents, I'm hearing from constituents with the same concerns. And there's some folks who are pushing back saying, well, you know, maybe we should put this on to the companies. They could help pay for some of this, and some do. But I'm not looking for any type of mandate to either an individual or an enterprise. There's ways to figure this out. And I think this is the problem when you get into the free market system and then profit up with government funds, like a lot of
exactly.
things. It never ends well. And so we end up having to make those tough decisions. The reality is we've got to get our federal spending right. We've got to make sure that the state spending is done the right way. And we've done a good job over the last decade. But it also means that these added pressures, what we call budget pressures, come down for the federal government. Again, they're just so generous with our own money.
Yeah.
It's amazing. They create these problems for us, and then they tell us to solve them. Good news is, in North Carolina, we generally do solve them.
Yeah.
We find ways. We try to be creative. We try to be good stewards of the dollar. So all that is kind of like a moving, floating puzzle that you're trying to put the pieces together while you're en route or while you're sailing and the boats are rocking. But it does become more and more difficult each year. You know, who could have imagined that you shut down the national economy and that there wouldn't be economic activity? Oh yeah, the federal government didn't think that far. Remember, 15 days to slow the spread, and we'll be okay.
That's right.
We shut down an entire state economy, right? We've been one of the fortunate ones. We've been able to bounce back. We've done far better than a lot of other states have. That's why we kind of remain at the forefront of those that give out those nice awards of which states are doing best in business, which states are good for individuals, and so forth. But it still comes at a cost, and so we're having to deal with that.
Well, and you know, like you said, this one program alone, if we do decide to fund it completely as the federal government has, that's $900 million. And like we talked about, $1.5, $1.4 billion is what we have projected surplus, $900 million subtract. Okay, so now we're down to basically $400 million. Left to play with, or $500 million, maybe somewhere in that neighborhood. So all of a sudden, all that big number that everybody thought we had. So, hey, we got a hard break coming up in about 30, 40 seconds here, but I realize how hard the decisions are in that room. Once I sit there and saw I think one of our commissioners always say, don't ask me about my decisions till you understand my options. A lot of this, we're at the end of a bayonet.
That's right. We it's very limited as to what we can do, and that drives a lot of the decisions that are being made.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're going to have Jason Sane back on here the last part of the hour, so just hold tight. Going to break right now, but thank you for what you're doing so far, Jason. Hold tight.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
There's more Taking Care of Iredell with North Carolina Representative Jeff McNeely on the way from 105.9 100.7 WSIC. With NC Representative Jeff McNeely at 844 Studio 4, it's Taking Care of Iredell on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
All right. Probably can't hold Representative Jason Sane but about another 3 or 4 minutes. He's got to dive into a meeting he's got up there, but we're going to try to get the last little bit in here. Hey, since we got a little short time, I caught a lot of heck about it, and I know a lot of us did or whatever, and maybe a lot of people don't like it, so I always say don't download the app. But sports betting has come on, and it's looking like it's even going to be a bigger tax win than we thought. Is that correct?
Well, it turns out that people actually wanted it because, you know, for all the commercials and everybody complaining about the commercials when it first came out and everything else, turns out there's a market for it in North Carolina. We are going to see a big windfall from it sooner rather than later. This helps pay for a lot of those things that, people say they want from their government. You know, good roads, good schools, you know,
child care,
of health care, those child care, those type of things. So, you know, look, you do have to find new sources of revenue. And the fact of the matter was, this revenue was going out of state, offshore, and elsewhere. We were able to capture it since we got it passed. It took us 3.5-4 years to get that done. But the reality is, we are seeing, you know, actually, I've said it, it's far exceeded my expectations even. And I knew our guesstimates were really low from our quote-unquote experts. But, you know, people like engaging. They like, you know, whether it's basketball, whether it's football, and even horse racing, which we haven't got to that yet. But folks enjoy it, and they do it as a form of entertainment. I literally make $2 bets on baseball. I mean, nothing crazy. Just because I enjoy it, and I end up watching more games because of it, and I just enjoy that part of it. But it's you know, as long as you're not hurting yourself, your family, or so forth, I think it's fine. And we've got things to deal with that as well. But what we've really seen is that there are a lot more people out there than you ever imagined who enjoy that. Now, whether you like it or not, the good news is you don't have to do anything.
You know, I see it.
And you don't have to participate. Yeah.
I think that's the real beauty. I mean, I had a lot of people slamming this, that, and the other, and I'm like, well, don't do it. And it's just like cigarettes, alcohol, all what we consider maybe to be bad for us or the sins or whatever. Don't do it. Don't participate, because at the end of the day, all you can control is what you do. And you know, that's all you really can, and that's the freedom of America. So,
And eventually you'll have the ability to bet on a horse like Mystic Dan. We just hadn't got there yet. What happens when we pass it? We passed horse betting in North Carolina along with that sports betting bill, sports wagering bill. But the reality is it takes a while to promulgate the rules. And we've heard from some of the folks at the lottery, they want a little more direction on how to address it. We've seen how Kentucky does it. We've seen how other states do it. But it does take some time to get those rules implemented. Because I hear it from you know, one of my high school coaches, a good friend, and known him for years. He just really enjoys the horses, and he wants to participate in that part of it. He's not really interested in the other sports betting avenues. But he's having to wait because it is taking a lot more time than maybe some had thought. We knew it would take time, but it's never soon enough if it's something you want. It's kind of like broadband. We can never get it out to you fast enough, even if it's tomorrow.
That's exactly right. And we're working like crazy on it. People don't think we are, but we are. Trust me, folks. Broadband has consumed us down there at the state legislature. So anyway, hey, I know you got to dive in a meeting. It's right now. It's heading towards 11:52. So we'll let you go, and I'll coast on out the end of the show here. I got a few things else to talk about. Appreciate the insight. Appreciate what you do. Folks, you don't know how much time our appropriation chairs spend on working on the budget, and this is the small little complimentary budget, and it's all day in a room back and forth and trying to get the best deal for the dollars that you send us, and we thank you Jason Sain. Thank you to all of our appropriation chairs, large and small. That's what we call them, folks, big chair, small chair. Thank y'all for the effort and work that you do.
Well, I appreciate you saying so, and if you're going to see Joe later on, tell him I said duh, okay?
I'll do that.
See you, man.
See you, brother. Bye. All right. Representative Jason Sain there on the line. Good to have him talk with us. It is a lot of things being hashed out in the budget room, stuff you wouldn't believe. A heck of an asked has come in from DPI, Department of Public Instruction. Surprise. I mean, they eat up a good bit of the budget. I think this last budget, it was about 56% of the big budget. And so now they're back, and we got to fill in some holes here and there. And so a lot of needs. You know, we got needs, we got wants. Got to get the needs done and then look at the wants. So there won't be a lot of extra money floating around for member projects, but hopefully we'll fix the things that we need to fix, get those out of the way. The one thing they do not like to hear when you start talking to them is the word reoccurring. And as Jason just alluded to, you know, a lot of the money that we've have now, this surplus in this short session that came, was from economic activity. sales tax, basically, as the largest input. And that only happens if the economy is doing well. And yes, we're in Biden economics, and I'm not going to tell you the economy is necessarily doing well, but North Carolina is doing a whole lot better than some of its sister states around it, or especially across the country. As far as that child care goes, we're all trying to hope that maybe the federal government is going to pick back up their part that they put on us and continue. But as we see the mess in Washington, D.C., we don't look hopefully to that. But we took the money to start with through that rescue plan to do the supplemental child care. So now we're basically volunteered, or we've gave something to somebody, and it's hard when you have to end a program or reduce a program. People get dependent on it. They budget for it. They figure it in, think it's just the way life's going to be going forward. And that's what worries me. And so that's what we've done here. And a lot of times money comes from the federal government, and I'm always like, maybe we shouldn't take it. You know, but if you don't, then you end up paying the bills for all the other states that do. And that's kind of the crazy part. Speaking of that, getting into that to a point of what's going on, the jobs report come out for April and has continued an ongoing trend during the Biden administration since COVID truly ended in 2022. Jobs were added this month, not as much as expected, right around 100,000. Unemployment has creeped up maybe 1 or 2 tenths. But where we're adding the jobs, healthcare, government, and social assistance. So think about that. These are not actually jobs where there's a product being made and a supply chain fed. These are because of basically government spending, which that's one of the things that caused our inflation, folks. We overspent the monies we had, borrowed, putting more money into the economy, pumping up the money supply with major money when there's more money out there than they're really justified by the way we do it with a deficit, then that's where you get inflation, and that's what we have. So these are the jobs that have actually grown, and we've grown healthcare. North Carolina alone expanded Medicaid. Wasn't really a fan of it. I was willing to swallow the pill, but when they ended up changing the deal, the bill on me, I ended up voting no on the third vote. Kind of weird, but that's the way it went down when we realized that they didn't put some of the things in that I had asked for and got through the first time. So, but that Medicaid expansion was allowing a lot more people who needed health care to go to the doctor, which requires them to hire more people to up their staffing level, to up the staffing level in the government side of it at the Department of Health and Human Services. We up that not only at the state level, but the county level also to take the more applications. So it's a trickle-down theory. The Democrats don't believe in trickle-down, but you can sure see it when you follow the money that gets spent from the government. So you had that. And then in social assistance, we're an aging population here in the United States. A lot of baby boomers were already retiring. That's going to be a huge influx as we grow older as a country. And there's going to be more needs for help at home. And this could be skilled nursing at home, or this could be any of these number of things that will come along, which still plays into healthcare, but it's not exactly included in healthcare. So, real interesting as far as what jobs are going or not. And, you know, whenever the government is your jobs creator, well, that's scary, because basically to me, that's an economy like a house of cards. At what point in time do we realize that we're broke? Our deficits keep running up and up and up. And believe me, the adding of the jobs over the last just 2 years, you're looking at about $2 trillion a year to increase these jobs that we have. So not a good thing. It eventually the money's going to dry up, because either our creditors are going to come calling and say you're not worth what you are on paper, or we're going to realize that we're at a fiscal cliff and we're getting ready to just fall over that cliff and never come back. So this is tricky. But when we add all these together, and like I said, when the government's what's driving your job's not the true economy, that's not a good equation. That's not a lasting equation that we're going to have. So keep an eye on this. Watch what this is. The only other sector that's really come on anything at all would be our, I hate to use the word entertainment, but basically our, that would be your waiters, waitresses, anything out there as far as the service industry and that stuff has increased, but they're still not working them full time. So this is just a lot of smoke and mirrors. If you look at the numbers, you dig into the numbers, it'll be really scary. So I'm just, you know, praying that maybe with an election, we can change the attitude and we can change the economy and we can get back to going again, folks. So, hey, it's getting near the end of the show. Going to go ahead and say our prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for many blessings to this country, but we pray, Lord, that we get leadership. We seem to have a vacuum right now. We need leadership. We need you to be that leadership, dear Lord. You need you to give us the wisdom to follow your way and walk your path. Dear Lord, just be with us. Protect those that are out there protecting us. Pray all this in your holy, precious Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, folks. Until next week, take care.
Listening to North Carolina Representative Jeff McNeely. Join Jeff again next Monday morning at 11:05 for Taking Care of Iredell on News Talk WSIC.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Morrisville, North Charlotte.